I neglected to mention in our introductory remarks the other day that it would be helpful when we come to the Chaburis to have a Gemara with you and a Shulchan Aruch. So if you don't have both today, then for next time, because we will regularly be looking at Maseches Nida and Shulchan Aruch, so it's helpful to have it to see inside. Okay, just by way of introduction, before we start the Limud, the Mishnah tells us in Abbas at the end of Parag Gimel, Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma Omer, Kinen upischei nida, hein hein gufei halachos. So, Maseches Kinim and the Maseches Seder Kachim and pischei nida are considered gufei halachos. Tkufos gematrios are parparos achachma. So the contrast between pischei nida, kinen as an example of gufei halachos sounds like these things are more fundamental than tkufos gematrios, which are more peripheral. Those are parparos achachma, they're secondary. So what is it about pischei nida? What are pischei nida? And what is it about pischei nida that makes it considered gufei halachos that the Mishnah, the Tana, singles out as something to focus on as a paradigmatic example of gufei halachos? If you look at the Mefarshim on Avos, you find different approaches that reflect somewhat different perspectives on the significance of hilchos nida. The Meiri just says that Nida and Kinen happen to be the final Masechtos in Seder Kachim and Seder Taros. The Tana is just saying that you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. You have to learn, just like those Rishonim who say, Eim Eftian Akar Pesach HaFikomen, means all the halachas until, you tell the Chacham, all the halachas until the last halacha, until Eim Eftian Akar Pesach HaFikomen. So you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Guvei halachas is Kol HaTorah Kula up to the last Masechta in Seder Kachim, and the last Masechta in Seder Taurus, and then there isn't really anything significant about Nida per se. That's just reflective of Kol HaTorah Kula up until the end. If you look in the Perish HaMeyuchas Larashi on Pirkei Avos, that has a different approach. Rashi writes, Isha deras adam ve'eino yudas imbi meinida oziva. So what does it mean, pischei nida? The woman sees dam, we'll discuss this a little bit later. What's the difference on a d'oraisa level between Nida or Zava? And she sees Dam, she doesn't know whether it's Dam Nida or Dam Ziva. So the Mishnah in Erechon Daf Ches tells you there's a whole calculation how you have to be Machmir in both directions. If you have a Safek, whether something is Dam Ziva or Dam Nida, you have to be Machmir to take both into consideration. And the Mishnah there at the Lashon, Erechon Daf Ches, Ein Pesach B'toa Pachas B'Sheva V'lo Yeser Al Yudzayim. So there's no Pesach by someone who makes a mistake or is unclear as to whether it's Dam Nida or Dam Ziva less than 7 days, and not more than 17 days. So Pesach there is the beginning of the period of Nidus, Tchilas Nida. So that's what the Miuchas Rashi seems to say is the reference to Pischei Nida, the beginning of the period of Nidus. So Gufei Torah isn't the body of Torah, part of Talmud Torah, but specifically that these are critical things that you shouldn't take lightly, that we're talking about Dvarim Chamurim, we're talking about something with the potential Chiyuv Karis ramification. If you're not careful, so you have to be exceedingly careful about Pischei Nida being the beginning of Nida, to be careful anytime there's a Chashash that something may be Dam Nidus or Dam Ziva. You have to take proper precautions to avoid a potential chiyuv karis. So, hein hein gufei halachos, because these are dvarim chamurim, and you have to be properly cautious. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to understand pischei nida not as the beginning of the period of nidus, but pesach milashon opening, the entranceway. So, as we'll see as we go on, that there are different areas in a woman's body that could produce dam. Some of that dam would be considered dam nidus, and some of it would be dam that's tohar. So you have to know, where's the blood coming from? Is it min habayis, min aliyah, min aprozer, which are the various euphemistic terms that Chazal use to describe the female anatomy? So you have to be able to be mafkin between different types of dam, different pischei nida, different openings of Dam Nidas, to see where the Dam comes from, to know what's considered Dam Nida and what's considered not Dav Nida. So again, Pisei Nida could be the beginning of a Nida period, could be the opening that the Dam comes out of. Yeah.
Sorry, I might have just misheard the beginning. Mm-hmm. The Pirkei Avos says Pisei Nida, right? Not Pisei.
Pisei, yeah. Okay. Pisei Nida. Okay. The Medrash Shmuel is one of the early, it's not a Medrash, it's one of the early Achronim, commentary on Pirkei Avos. So he understands that the contrast between, or the connection between Kenan and Pisei Nida, why are both of these mentioned in the same breath? Kenan is an example of something that's not terribly lamaisa. A bird flies away from a group of birds that are set aside for karbanos. So a lot of the cheshbonos in Maseches Kenan are things that are very rare, that barely ever happened. So that's an example of an area of Talmud Torah that's not terribly lamaisa. And neither is Maisa B'chol Yom, that happens, is relevant to everyone, both in terms of Taurus, in terms of Isser, as we'll discuss. So you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, including the areas that are not terribly lamaisa and the areas that are very lamaisa. So Pisei Nida and Kenan are examples of both extremes, an area of halacha that's not very lamaisa, an area of halacha that is very lamaisa. In the Sefer Gufei Halachos, we mentioned last time Rabbi Wolhender from Williamsburg, which was originally called the Mishnah Berurah Chadash, and he's put into Chayrin because people were upset that he used the term Mishnah Berurah. So the other name of the Sefer is Gufei Halachos, which is named after this very Mishnah, Hein Gufei Halachos. So why do you call it Gufei Halachos? Or what's important? How do you understand Gufei Halachos? He writes in that Dhamma that Gufei Halachos are dafka things that don't happen so often. So it's true that many areas of Hilchos Nida are very lamaisa, but like the Rebbe, like the Miuchas Rashi said, that's a reference to that Mishnah in Erech and Daf Ches that talks about situations of suffix. If you don't know whether something is Dam Nida or Dam Ziva, so a lot of those suffix situations are not terribly lamaisa. So he understood that both Kenan and Pisei Nida are examples of things that are not terribly lamaisa, and part of our Chiva Talmud Torah is dealing with even those areas that are not lamaisa. The Marsha is a different twist. The Marsha at the very end of Maseches Nida, the Gemara ends with the statement of Tanit Vei Eliyahu, Kol Shana Halachos Muftach Lo Sheben Olam Haba. So what's that doing? Dafka at the end of Maseches Nida, it appears at the end of Megillah, the end of Nida. What's special about Maseches Nida that the Masechta ends in that way? So the Marsha says that you might have thought, it's true, as we'll discuss in a few minutes, or we may get to this next time. It's true that originally you have to figure out what's considered to be a Nida, what's considered to be a Zava. And then we'll see that there was Minhag B'nos Yisrael, Tekanos Zera. There are various later additions to the calculation of Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva that basically creates a level playing field. You don't have to worry anymore about what's considered Dam Nida, what's considered Dam Ziva. We're Machmer and everything. We take the chumrus of both to some degree. So you might think that, okay, now we're all home free. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's simple. Once you have chumrus, the Reb Zeira, and the Chanas Menos as well, there's nothing else to worry about, and everything's going to be easy. So the Marsha says, no. May I time inami maisel of the sea of Mesechazu, kol shona halachas b'chol yom, sheva Mesechazu, kol shona halachas sheva Mesechazu, that you have to learn the halachas in Maseches Nida also. So you might think that once you have Chumah D'Rav Zeira, so everything's all simple, and you don't have to know all the details of Hilchos Nida anymore, because we're Machmer anyway, so all the details are not so consequential. So no, Kol Shana Halachos, you have to learn all the halachos from Maseches Nida, even if you think they're not lamaisa, because you can still make a mistake. So if you learn all the halachos, so then you'll be zocha l'chayelam haba. So we should all be zocha. And even though you might have thought that all the details are not as consequential, they still make a difference, and you still have to know all the halachos. Okay. Just another perspective on Liman of Maseches Nida that comes up from a comment to the Kesef Mishnah you wouldn't necessarily find. Kesef Mishnah, Yisodei HaTorah, the end of Perek Aleph. Kesef Mishnah writes, what's the difference between Tkufos Gematrios and Pisei Nida, and Kenan for that matter? So he says, Tkufos gematrios iskam dvar mu'ulin shehem hagarmiyim hashamayim. So when you deal with kufos, when you deal with establishing the calendar, so these are all things that are kind of in the upper spheres and how the world operates. Gematrios deals on some level with some esoteric things that we don't necessarily understand. Kinim hem davar kala erech. Kinim are things that are of relatively cheap value, and the birds are not that expensive. Piskeinida no sam davar mechur. Piskeinida at first glance is something that is not so pleasant. Davar mechur. Right, the Chazal, David Melech, noted that he got his hands dirty with Paschal and Shailas on Hilchas Nida. It's not something that's aesthetically pleasant. Afal Pikein, Elu Heim Gufei Halachos, Kolomri, Kari Torah, Mitzad Eschara Godol, Atzachel Oskim Behem. So both Esav Torah of the esoteric things, Esav Torah of the nitty-gritty and the physically less appealing things are all part of Talmud Torah. And there's Schar Gadol for those who are Osek in all these areas of Talmud Torah. So, slightly different twist to that is that even though Hilchos Nida is not usually a topic of public discourse, not something that you discuss out in the open the way you discuss other areas of Halacha, but nevertheless, Yesh Schar Gadol is still something that is worthy of our attention and focus as a critical part of Talmud Torah, both in terms of the Talmud Torah Shavuot, and in terms of the halacha Shavuot, and in terms of the potential consequences of a chiyuv kares if you're not careful. So with that in mind, let's begin the limud. And in order to begin the limud, still by way of hakdama, we have to try to define terms. What's the difference between a nida and a tzava? And then we'll talk about how the levelly playing field on some level was leveled as history went on. So at the end of Parshas Netzora, there are two Parshas back-to-back. First you have the Parsha of Nida, and then the Parsha of Zava. So that's relevant for three major areas of Halacha as emerges from the Tzokim, both Nida and Zava for now. Now, Nida and Zava is considered to be an Av Hatoma, so if a woman has the status of a Nida, she is considered to be an Av Hatoma. Number two, Dam Nida is considered to be an Avatama. Okay? So both the woman who's a Nida herself and the Dam that comes out of a Nida are both considered to be an Avatama. And number three, a Nida or a Zava is considered to be Asura Labaila. So our focus, I meant to bring a Chumash with me, but you have a Chumash here?
What do you need?
I'm sorry?
Do you need commentary?
Just the Tanakh. Thanks. Thank you so much. That all emerges from the Tzukim here in Perek Yuches in Vayikra. So just let's read a little bit together. I'm sorry, Perek Teslav. The Isha ki siyazava. Dam yezova bitsara, shivas yamim tiyad nidasa, chalanagea ba yitma ad ha aref. So this is talking about a nida, as we'll see, not a zava. Zava is the verb that dam is coming out of here, we're talking about a nida. Vachala shir tishka vallabi nidasa yitma, vachala shir tishay vallabi yitma. So again, that's the status of a nida as an avatama. Chalanagea ba mishkava, yichaves vagadav rachat ramayim vatamayra aref. So this is all in the context of Tuma, that Nida and Dam Nida is considered to be an Av HaTuma. So our focus will obviously not be so much on the Tumah V'Tahara, but on the Isra L'Vayla, on the Isra status of the Nida. Although, as we will see as we go on, there are various parallels between Tumah and Isra L'Vayla, and some details of the Isra L'Vayla are affected by Tumah status matters. And again, we'll flesh that all out as we go on with the limb. But as a the practical lemaisa, the Tumah v'Tahara ramifications are in and of themselves minimal nowadays, and we're really concerned about the Isser Labaila. Just parenthetically, there is a fascinating comment in the Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah in Simin Shin Samach, paragraph beginning, the Kasa the Piskei Nida. Again, Simin Shin Samach, paragraph beginning, the Kasa the Piskei Nida. So the Or Zeruah quotes, that even though in principle, nowadays, we're not considered about Tumah v'Tahara, because after all, we are all freely Mitame Lameis, someone who's Tumah Lameis can't be Tahor, we have no Paraduma, and we're not Makbid of Tumah v'Tahara by Kalim that need the touches. But, Aval Adamach Miram Alatzmenu, Ve'en Anu Yoshvim Al Moshava, that he writes, quoting this earlier source, Piskei Nida, that we are makbid not to sit on the same chair as Anita, v'lenogim v'gadeha, not to touch her clothing, v'lo mekablim shum davar miyada al yidei afer, and not to receive anything from her hand, v'kol ma shenucha lahachmir nachmir v'narchik mimena. Okay, so that sounds like the harchokos that we'll learn about between a baal and an isha nida, even though in context, sounds like maybe even non-husbands were makbid about this. But then he says, "Nosin anula kalim v'ka'aros v'kapos umaftechos ustinim v'karim mitzosos l'shtamish b'mei tamasa." That the practice was, again, quoted by this Piskei Nida, that you would give a woman who's a nida her own silverware, her own plates, her own keys, her own bedware, mattresses, pillows, sheets, to use b'mei nidusa, u'le'ez taros mechabesas b'mayim mosa begadim, and when she became tahora, she would bring all the kalim and all the sheets to the mikvah, u'maveres mehem akesem, to wash off the blood, v'chol asher rasa yadiach v'yitar, and they would wash everything off, u'minig ze yafel yisrael linog b'mei hergal aveira. I will issue to Malak. So fascinating practice that he quotes, I have no idea historically where, if anywhere, this is practiced, but what he quotes is that even though, technically speaking, there's no issue to Malak nowadays, and the only real ramification of Hilchos Nidah is issue Labayla, but there was this reference practice that women would be no way ke'ilu that there is an issue to Malak, and to have a separate set of kalim, etc., when she was an Nidah, which is what presumably the practice would have been when we were makbid on Tumah v'Tahara. Yeah.
She was saying, wash them and then use them during Yimei Tahara, or?
Yeah, even Yimei Tahara. I mean,
and then they'd come.
Then they'd be Tahara, and then if she wanted to use them.
Is he just saying summon, or?
No, I think summon is not dafka. The point is that when she was Anita, we would give her, she would have separate kalim. Yeah.
Does the Or Zeruah make any indication as to why we would follow this particular line of Tumah as opposed to anything else?
Well, the line is minhag zayafel Yisrael linog ba mimnei hergal aveira. So, as an extra precaution, just to have an extra siyak to avoid the issur l'vayla, so if a woman is going to be noheg these chumras mimnei Tumah, so that's just another siyak to avoid any potential issur l'vayla. So, another kind of archaka, aside from the regular archakas that everyone is noheg. Between in terms of food and hashata and everything we'll discuss, this is an added harchaka of being knowing ke'ilu or makbid on Tumah v'Tahara. Yeah.
Whether harchaka is not what their husband accomplished.
Well, he asked the same question, what would separate kalim, not what the husband accomplish? Right? So you say, if the concern is v'nei hergal aveira, so would. If only the husband is privately knowing Archaka, so then if no one else knows about it, he could still slip up. But if the whole world ostracizes her, and then and no one comes in contact with anything she comes in contact with, so then that's an extra siag, that maybe extra protection the husband shouldn't be national. I mean, this is not practiced Maisa. I don't know where, if anywhere, it was. But that's just a fascinating parenthetical that the Or Zeruah has such a comment. But again, lemaisa, our focus and concern is mostly on Issur Labayis. So that's the parsha of Nida. And then afterwards is the parsha of Zava, beginning pasuk Kafe. V'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim. If a woman has dam that flows out of her body yamim rabim. Actually, before, let me just finish up a couple of comments in Nida before we go on to Ziva. I'm sorry. So the din by Yanida, Isha ki si yazava, that's by Yanida, dam yazava bivsara, shivas yamim tiyevi nidasa, she's in her status of Nidus for 7 days, cholanageyaba yitma ad ha'arif. So the din expressed in this pasuk is that if a woman has dam Nidus, she is Tameah for 7 days. Whether she sees Dam for 5 minutes, or for 5 days, or for 7 days, as long as by the end of the seventh day she is clean, as long as by the end of the seventh day there is no more Dam, so then once that 7 day period is over, she can go to the Mikvah, she could be Toveles, and then she becomes Tahora right away. So in Nida, however much dam you see during those 7 days, as long as the dam end stops its flow before the end of the 7 days and the woman is clean at that point, she can then go to the mikvah immediately, motzae day 7. And that tefillah is done balayla. That's a comment of the Gemara on Samach Zayin on the Beis. It's about 50 lines from the top. Amar Rav, even with Rashi, Dibramaskali, De Safik. The Amar of Chiyab Rashi, Amar Rav, Nida, Bein Bismana, Bein Shalom Bismana, Eina Taveles, Ella, Ba Laila. Actually, before that, the initial name of Rav, about 10 lines down, Amar Rav, Nida Bismana, Eina Taveles, Ella, Ba Laila. Shalom Bismana, that's the Machlokas, which we'll talk about later on. But for now, Nida Bismana in a Tabel Sala Balaila, Rashi says, fourth line in Rashi, Dixivba Tiyadi Didasa, Tehebi Didasa Kozai. So the woman who's a Nida has to preserve that status of Nidas, remain on that status of Nidas for 7 days. And then, as soon as those 7 days are over, she can go to the mikvah that night. Now, parenthetically, if not the Farish and the Psukim, that she has to go to the mikvah. But it's not beferish that mikvah is necessary as part of the Torah process. And if you look in the Rishonim, if you look in the Bali Tosos in Yuvamis Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Yuvamis Mem Zayin Amud Beis, you'll see at least 5 days among the Bali Tosas, between the Tosas and the Tosi Shanim there on the margin, as to what is actually the Makor for Tvila for Adida. I mean, it's not Beferish Bekras, is it just that we transfer that from Zav, or it is Beferish, you have to go to the Mikvah, or are there other possible sources? It is clear that Tvila is necessary, but it's not Mefurash Bekra. Okay, so that's the Parsha of Nida, that Anida remains Tameya for a full 7 day period, and as long as the dam stops before the end of the 7 days, she can go to the mikvah on the evening, the night after day 7. Okay, so then let's go forward in the psukim, the end of Parshas Mitzara. After the Parsha of Nid, there's a Parsha of Zava. V'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim. If a woman has a flow of dam, yazuv zov dama yamim rabim, below es nidasa. So she sees a flow of dam not during the period of nidas. So till now we're talking about a nida. And here she sees what we call a zava, sees dam not during the period of nidas. Ochi sazuv al nidasa. During the entire period of Ziva, she is Tameya just like a Nida is. So, this lashon of Isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim, What's Yanim Rabim? There's a comment in the Medrash Tanchuma. That the reason it says Yamim Rabim, even though we'll see in a moment that even a Zava Gadol is only 3 days of Ziva, so why is that Yamim Rabim? So Tanchum has a comment that any time a woman has to be Poresh from her husband, that creates Tsar. Those are days of Tsar, so that's considered Yamim Rabim, that's considered for the woman a long period of time, even if it's not objectively a long period of time. That is the opposite there. But Yaakov Avinu and Rachel time fly. But here it's considered, even if it's objectively a short amount of time, but if a woman is a Sula Baila, that creates tsar, that's emotionally difficult, and we treat that as Yamim Rabim. So you can file that away as a pastorally relevant comment.
So who said that?
The Tanchuma, here in on this pasuk. Okay. So again, so Zav is a woman who sees Dam not during the period of Nidus. So that's something that is not the norm. It would be the norm to see Dam Be'eth Nidasa. Shelo Be'eth Nidasa, below Es Nidasa, that's not the norm. So that's parallel to Azav. Azav is a person who has a abnormal series of Re'ias. A Balkari is a normal situation, and a Zav is someone who has some kind of a disease that he's seeing emissions in a abnormal, unhealthy fashion. So a Zav also is an abnormal situation. The Rambam makes a comment like that here in the end of Mitzvah. Yeah?
The Pesukim aren't explicit that it's normal versus abnormal. At least according to the Rambam, it's definitely not.
Correct. We'll get to the Rambam. Right.
Shouldn't just say Esni Dasa is
right. Okay. Fine. So maybe I'm being partial for the Ramban, but the way correct. But the way the Ramban presents it is that Zava is parallel to Azav. Azav is a diseased situation of some sort, some kind of a machla, and you will see in the Ramban that the number of Nachaminas very presents things. But Azava, the Ramban at least sees in that light as well as being a non-standard or somewhat abnormal situation. But you're correct.
Even just medically, how could like an extended period of blood not during Es Nidasa be normal?
Well, you have to figure out what's Es Nidasa. Because what is that? We'll get to that's in the Chagas Rashi and the Rambam that Yossi is referring to. You're correct. So we have to define Esti Dasa and what's the contrast to Ziva. But at least, as we will get to, you can't do everything al regal achas, but at least the Ramban's take, you're right, Yossi is not Befesh in the Pesukim, the Ramban's take at least is that a Zava is a abnormal situation. So let's go on to the Pesukim. So called Mishkav, Shivishkav Lav Koy Mesava, Kibishkav Nidasa Yelav, Kol Kliya Shivishav Lav Tameya Kitamas Nidasa. So all the Hilchas Tuma ramifications of Nida are extended to Zav as well. And I'm skipping a couple of psukim that continue on that theme. V'im Tahara Mizava, V'safra La Shivas Yamim V'yachar Titar. And when she becomes purified of her ziva, then she has to count 7 days and then become tahora. Ubayom hashmini tikach lo shtei sarim o shnei b'nei yona ve'viyo sa melakoveno pesach ohel moed. And then she has to bring korbanos. I actually skipped one pasuk I should have read before that. V'chol enogei b'mitma yichabes v'chibes v'gadav rachas b'mayim v'tamei ad ha'aref. So what emerges is that there is a difference between a zava ketana and a zava gedola. A zava ketana is a woman who sees dam on 1 day or on 2 days bimei shel lo be'esdi dasam. So if a woman sees Dan Ziva on one day, then she is a shomeres yom keneged yom, which means she has to check that on the next day there's no blood. So she sees Dam on Sunday, Dam Ziva on Sunday. There's no more Dam on Monday. Then she can go to the mikvah on Monday. Or if it's 2 days, she sees Dam on Sunday, and she sees Dam again on Monday, she can go to the mikvah on Tuesday if she's clean on Tuesday. So that's a Zalva Katana, a woman who sees Dam, Ziva, either 1 day or 2 days. She's Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She has to check that the next day she's clean. As long as the next day she's clean, she can go to the mikvah on the next day, on day two or day three. We say Mixas Yom Kekula, which we'll have to explain. And she can go to the mikvah technically on that day. Yeah.
I don't know if this is my joking or anything, but mm-hmm. when, just on a purely derisive level, when it says mm-hmm. check, is that related to a modern bedika or no?
So on a purely derisive level, you may not need all the technicalities of a bedika, although maybe you would. You have to ascertain that she is clean. So whether you need chorin v'stakin on a derisive level, maybe we'll talk about that when we talk about the details of bedika. But at least ke'ein, the bedika that we would do.
But meaning, right? Like, is the standard that needs to be internal? Like,
Again, there's a, we'll discuss whether there's a, you know, there are different levels of bedika. There's kinoach, and then there's bedika chorin v'stakin. There's a more peripheral check or a deeper check. So whether on a deraisa level, so it could well be that on a deraisa level the kinoach is sufficient, but we'll talk about that more when we get to those details. Good. Okay. So again, on a zava ketan, the shomeres yom keneged yom, she sees dam ziva on Monday, sees dam ziva on Tuesday, and then by Wednesday she's clean, so she can go to the mikvah on Wednesday by day, mikvah yom kekulo, and she's home free. The parsha of waiting 7 days, that's by a Zava Gedola. That means that she sees Dam Ziva on 3 consecutive days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Once she sees Dam Ziva on 3 consecutive days, she is a Zava Gedola, and she has to count 7 clean days. So if she sees Dam Ziva on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and by the end of Tuesday she's clean, so she counts Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, she counts 7 clean days, and only after the 7th clean day does she go to the mikvah and bring karbanos. So she could go to the mikvah on day 7 of the 7 clean days, and then bring karbanos on day 8. Okay, but if she sees Dan Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the 7 days don't start till Friday. So as opposed to a Nida where you count 7 days of Nidas no matter how long you see Dam during those 7 days, if you see 1 day, you see 7 days, it's all the same. When it comes to Ziva, the clock only starts once she's clean. So whether she sees Dam for 3 days or 5 days or 7 days or 9 days, the seven clean days only start once the woman is no longer seeing Dam. And then she could go to the mikvah on day 7 of the clean days and bring karbanos on day 8. The Ramban, picking up at that theme of Ziva being somewhat diseased, says that the reason for karbanos is hinei hu choli kizov ha'ish, that this Ziva is a sickness akin to Zov. V'hisrachas ha'korban v'hisrapos ha'kidin Zav. So just like a Zav brings karbanos, the Ramban conceives of that as being not only a halachic, tara process, but a physical tara process on some level as well, because it's curing him somehow of the disease. The same is true of a zava, and that's why a zava brings karbanos. But as we should see, when it comes to zava, we do say nitzas hayom kekulo, both for a zava Ketana and a, again on a Mekrede level, both for a Zava Ketana and Zava Gedola. So Zava Ketana Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom could go to the mikvah on during the daytime of the clean day, the second or third day. A Zava Gedola who counts 7 clean days could again, Mikra Dibra talking about the Raisa level, go to the mikvah on day 7 because of Nixas Hayom Kekula. Rav Shechter points out, quoting the Rav, this is written up in Simen Yud Zayin of Ikve Yatzon, that the Rav explained, how do you know when to apply Nixas Hayom Kekula? The Nixas Hayom Kekula is dependent on what's considered a melos. What does melos mean? The way Rav Shechter says it from the Rav is melos is a period of time that is imposed on the calendar. When you buy a calendar in the store or get a calendar in the mail, it tells you certain days, certain Yom Tovim, but you won't be able to find that calendar Yemei Ziva or Yemei Avelus or Yemei Naziris or Yemei Hesker from Mitzorah, because those are not days that are in the calendar. Those are days that are superimposed based on a person's own life situations. So anything that is personal, that is a personal period of counting that's imposed on the calendar, is subject to Mixas Hayom Kekula. And that'll answer the kasha that Rabbi Yosef Engel has in his Galyoni Yashas, in the name of the Ramami Panu. Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Galyoni Yashas, Tidnazir Daf Hayim Ebeis, quotes in the Ramami Panu that he asks, why don't you say Mixas Hayom Kekula on Shabbos? So you only have to keep half Shabbos. That's not what people usually mean when they say half Shabbos now. But keep Shabbos till 2 o'clock or till 11 in the morning. So why don't you say Mixas Hayom Kekula for Shabbos? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has there from the Rami Panu that you only say Mixas Hayom Kekula for things that you don't like. You don't like Avelus, you don't like Tumah, so then you say Mixas Hayom Kekula. Shabbos we love. Shabbos is Kedusha. So you don't say Mixas Hayom Kekula for Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef Engel is bothered. So that works for Shabbos. What about Naziris? Naziris, at least according to one strand in Chazal, is great. It's Kedusha. So why do you say Mixas Hayom Kekula by Naziris? Naziris is a holy thing. So Rav Shechter says, according to the Rav's explanation, you well understand. It's not a function of Dvarim Shekedusha versus things that you don't like. It's Melos versus Non-Melos. Shabbos is on the calendar. Naziris is superimposed on the calendar. So Naziris is just like Avelus and just like Yemei Ziva and just like Yemei Hesker Mitzara and just like Tara. So all those things are superimposed on the calendar. That's a malos, and that's where you say Nixas Hayom Kekula. So just to summarize what we've discussed so far as the differences between Zava Gedola and Nida on a Deraisa level, a Zava Gedola requires Shivan Akiyam, requires 7 clean days after the flow has stopped, as opposed to a Nida, where as long as the flow has stopped within 7 days, you can go to the mikvah after the Yemei Nida are over. Number 2, Zava Gedola brings a Korban, a Nida does not. And number 3, do you say Mixas Hayom Kekula? By a Zav, you say Mixas Hayom Kekula, and therefore you can go to the mikvah by Yom on the 7th day. And Nida, you don't say Mixas Hayom Kekula, and therefore you can't go to the mikvah until the night after the 7 days of Nidos. Okay? Rashi, Dav Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Mekvos, I'm not going to read inside, but you can take a look at the top of the Amud. Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Mekvos, quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, that when a Zava purifies herself, it's not sufficient to go to a mikvah, but you need Mayim Chayim, you need a Mayim. Just like a Zav is Beferish in the Pasuk, a Zav has to go to Mayim Chayim, has to go to a Mayim. Flowing water, not a mikvah which is stagnant water. So Rashi quotes a day, Yesh Mefarshim, that a zava requires mayim chayim as well. A zava needs a mayim, and a mikvah is insufficient. And then Rashi rejects that opinion based on a Tosefta in Megillah. Tosefta in Megillah says, Beferish, Chomer Zav mi bezava, Shehazav tol mayim chayim. That a Zav is more common than a Zava because a Zav requires a Mayan and a Zava does not require a Mayan. So Rashi says, Beferishin of the Tosefta is not true. That there's no such requirement of Mayan when it comes to a Zav. It's only a Zav that requires a Mayan, that's the Pasuk. No requirement of Mayan for a Zava. There is a Rashi in Sanhedrin, Pei Zayin Amun Aleph, Dibra Masko Halachos. The Rashi there has a comment, Imrasa Shlosha Yamin Ritzufim, Hav Yaziva LeKarban. If a woman sees Dam 3 consecutive days, she's considered to be a Zava to require a Karban. Ula Tfilas Mayim Chayim. And she requires Tfila B'mayim Chayim, Tfila N'mayim. And Rashi there doesn't argue. The Aruch Lener, here in our sugya, actually notes that this isn't such a problem, that don't have this steer in Rashi's, because Rashi sometimes will quote different opinions or be mefarish based on different opinions and different mesectas. So Rashi had his traditions from his Rebbeim, and this Yesh Mefarshim that he quotes is Ashita Sagonim. So he says sometimes Rashi will be mefarish Gemara based on Ashita Sagonim or Ashita of his Rebbeim, even if he himself doesn't hold it. So the fact that Rashi in Sanhedrin is mefarish based on this opinion that you need Mayim for Zava doesn't mean that Rashi actually held away Lemaisa, because Kaftar Kosher Rashi sometimes can be mefarish Gemara based on the traditions that he had from his Rebbeim, even if he doesn't hold of it himself. However, the Rashat, yeah.
So I'm sorry, who said that?
The Aruch Lener. Okay. The Aruch Lener and Arsuga in Nida Samasai. But the Rashash, in Akamar and Sanhedrin, and Daf Pizayin, says that maybe there's an incorrect Yeris in Rashi, and instead of Ula Tfilas Mayim Chayim, it should say Ula Sfira Zayin Akiyim. So none of those three words are the same. I guess you could just take out your pen and cross out anything. But he said maybe it's just the wrong Girsa. Shouldn't have said Tfias Mayim Chaim. But the Margolius Sayyam in Sanhedrin quotes a number of Shuas HaGaodim that had this opinion. So it's not, Rashi wasn't working in a vacuum. There definitely was such an opinion on the books that he's quoting, that Anita requires, Zavar rather requires Mayim Chaim. And there is a comment in the Radak in Zecharia Perek Yigimel Pasuk Aleph, discussing Akris Hayamim or the period of Mashiach. Vayomahu Yeh Mekor Niftachu Beis David. So in describing or painting the picture of what things are going to look like, he writes, there's going to be a big river in Yerushalayim. Va'az Yesu Mayim Chayim Ba'ir. And then you're going to have flowing water in the city. V'lo Yistarchu Laseis Chutz La'ir L'Meichatas. And you're not going to, if you're looking for a Mayim for Meichatas, you're not going to have to leave the city the way you used to. Shetzarch Shiyu Chayim Kamosha Kasuv V'chein L'nida Shiyizova Shetzucha Mayim Chayim. And also the Zava who needs Mayim Chayim won't have to leave the city anymore. You'll have a Mayim in the middle of Yerushalayim. So that comment of the Radak also seems to be like this opinion that a Zava requires a Mayim. Why should that be? Why should a Zava require a Mayim? So the Netziv has the following suggestion. The Netziv appears in his Chidush Amam Masechta here in Merom Mesada, but the Margolius Hayam in Sanhedrin is Mitzayim. The Netziv also writes this in a tshuva that was printed in a little pamphlet called Roe Yeshurin. They have it on Osar Chachma. Take a look. Roe Yeshurin was a collection of Hespedim that were given for, which of the following don't belong? Given for the Netziv, the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Shua LeKutner, and Moses Montefiore. So in the in that collection, they have from the Netziv, It's also in the Merame Sada and the Mesachta, if you don't want to look for such an eclectic source, that the Navy doesn't need, the Shitas HaGaonim, that you need a Mayan for Zav. Maybe it doesn't really mean a Mayan per se. It means that you need water that wasn't heated up Ayidei Adam. That it wasn't a Nishtana Ayidei Maisa. So that then you have for Mechatas. That's a Mishan Para, Parachas and Para, that for Mechatas, you can't have, if you have water that was Nishtana Bidei Adam, was heated up Bidei Adam, that passes the water for Mechatas. So maybe that maybe tefillah for zava is more chamer than tefillah for nida, because as we saw, tefillah for nida is not mefurish b'kra. There's no pasuk that tells you need tefillah. We just learn that from whatever source we learn it. Tefillah b'zava is mefurish b'kra. So maybe that's a higher level tefillah, and that has to be on the level of mechatas to require to have a psul of nishtana b'dei adam, even if you don't require a mayan per se.
Okay.
Just to mention that another thing to be aware of by way of introduction is what Achronim discuss whether the nature of the Isser Nida, particularly Isser Nida Labayla, is that considered an Erva? Is that the same category as other Arayas? Or is that an Isser, albeit an Isser that is Noveya from her status of Tumas? This is a famous Chakir, if you will, that Asman Daraisa discusses. Yosef Engeli Asman Daraisa, Simon Kafal, of whether Nida is an Isser or a Tumma. Nafkamina, let's say for Yahar V'Yavor. If it's a Rayas, so then it's B'chla Yahar V'Yavor. If it's just an Isser that's Noveya from Tumma, then it's not Bechlal Yahar V'Yavor. Or Ein Darish of Erva Pachas Mishnayim. What edus do you need in order to testify that someone's a Nida? So if it's a Rayas, Ein Darish of Erva Pachas Mishnayim, you need to edus. If it's Isurim, Ein Achanam of Isurim. Okay, so another Nafkamina, whether it's Isur or Erva. He points out, Rabbi Yosef Engel, that Tosfos, in the beginning of Gittin, that Beis Amin Beis, learns out Eid Achanem and Misurim from where? From the Safrala. How do you know Eid Achanem and Misurim? How do you know that a single Eid is Naman when it comes to Misurim? The Safrala, the Asma, that a woman is Naman, is to tell you when is she needed, when she's not needed, that she can count for 7 days, and you believe her. That's Tosus' source for Eid Achanem and Misurim. So obviously, if Tosus is learning Eid Achanem and Misurim from the Safrala, from Nida, then Nida is clearly an Isser and not an Erva. If it was an Erva, then Ein Darish of Erva Pachas Mishnayim. Right? He also points out the Asman Daraisa, there's a Rashi Gittin Vavim Beis, the Gemara there says, Kol Matil Eima Yaseir Besach Beiso, Self a lovely day gimmavirus. If a person instills undue fear in the members of his household, you're going to end up violating the gimmavirus chamuras. Gilei Raish, Yusamim, Vodasar. So what are we talking about there? Rashi writes, what's the arayas? Yureya lomer lo tevalti. The woman's going to be so scared of her husband, she'll be afraid to say that she didn't go to the mikvah. So that sounds like it's a raya, it's not Isser. It's calling it one of the Gimel Averis Chamurus, the Yar Goliath. So that's saying it's a raya and not Isser. He says that's what it sounds like from the Pesach of the Beis Yosef, which we'll talk about, Kupsadi Hei, that even in Malkom Pikuach Nefesh, if there's no doctor around, so a husband can't touch his wife as a Nida. So it sounds like that's of his right, the Gilei Arayas. Ramam's Mefurash Paradality Siri B Allah Aleph that need this Bukhlal Arayas. And the Tazar Rosh, the beginning of Amos, is Mefurash that it's not an Erva. So it seems to be Machlok Svishonim with the Nafkamina that Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses. Okay, we'll stop here. And Mirza Shah next club will be on Monday. Will be here Monday? Labor Day?
Yeah.
regular star. I think Mincha is probably 1:30. So assuming Mincha is 1:30, we'll have the Chabur at 2.
Right, I think Sarah's 2 to 5:30.
Right, so we'll have the Chabur from 2 to 3 on Monday. Okay?
We draw space.